Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. That ain't gonna get it again. Let's act like we're really glad to be here tonight, okay? You're stuck with me, but you've got the Lord with you, so we'll trust in Him. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, amen. It's good to be born again. I've never got over the fact that God loved me enough to save somebody like me, and on top of that, give me the privilege to open His Word up and to preach from it, so I've not gotten over that. That's been, I'm not going to lie to you, it's been a battle. I think I went into my study about 9:30, Pastor Lawson, and I come out of it about 5:30. It's been a wrestling match trying to get centered on what the Lord would have. And so hopefully I've got lined up with Him, and we can give you something that'll help you from the Word of God. You have your Bibles tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading at verse number 27 and go down through verse 31. And the Bible says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence." But pay special attention right here at verse number 30. It says, "But of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And let us pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to read from Your Word tonight. God, I've tried my best to make sure I lined up on what You would have us to preach and teach on tonight. But God, I can't give You a single reason to use me. God, I can't preach. I depend totally upon Thee. And now, God, I ask that You put a protective hedge about this building tonight. I ask, God, that You'd put a protective hedge about our hearts and our minds. And God, when we leave here tonight, help us to leave differently, closer to You. We love You, Lord, and we thank You for all Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace. And now, God, please help Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'd like to preach for just a little while tonight, or teach on the subject of sanctification. Now, many people have got the wrong idea about sanctification, I think. Many people believe that you must look to Christ and His finished work on Calvary to be pardoned from your sins and to be justified from those sins. And that's true. That's absolutely true. I agree with them on that statement. You see, if you don't have Christ, you don't have a way to be pardoned. If you don't have Christ, you don't have any way to be justified in yourself. If you don't have Christ, you'll stay lost in the position you're in and leave this world and go to the devil's hell. So you must have Christ if you're going to be saved, and if you're going to be justified, and if you're going to be right standing before the Lord of God. You can't get past that. But folks, that's true, but there's so many people that have a wrong idea. And I believe one of the biggest problems in the churches today is that when it comes to being sanctified, being holy, that a lot of people not only misunderstand sanctification, they believe that sanctification is in good works. Or they believe that sanctification is in doing good things, or in how your behavior is. But that's not what sanctification is. Now, please listen to me this morning. Being moral is what they think will help them. Being good and doing works does not mean that you're sanctified and set apart with the Lord. Now their idea is that holiness comes in what they can do. Holiness comes in what they can do to help God to love them more. or to put them in a more right situation and position with him. But may I submit to you tonight that God can't love you any more now than he did before you came to him. The Bible says when we were yet sinners, we hadn't been moral, we probably weren't good, we were probably rotten as we could be, and even though we were in the condition we were in, God still chose to love you and me enough to send his son to die for our sins, and we did nothing to prepare for it, nothing to help it along. We did nothing to warrant it. We could not be good enough. We could not be moral enough. We could not be right. And he chose to love us anyway. Now, I don't know about you. I'm having a hard time understanding why he did such a thing. Not knew me. Y'all don't know me. Most of you only know me as Preacher Tom. And you think, well, Preacher Tom seems to be a all right feller, I guess. But in reality, had you known me before I knew him, and had you been around me before I met him, and had you walked around me before I walked with him, you wouldn't like Tom Berry at all. I was no good. I was vile. I had no forgiveness in my heart. I was semi-moral at times. I had a temper, and I just really didn't care what you thought. And if you did something to me, I wanted to get not only even with you, Brother Sean, but I aimed to come out way ahead before the thing was over. So you see, without Christ, I'm nothing. Without Christ, I don't know how to love people. Without Christ, I don't know how to act around people. Without Christ, I don't know how to forgive people. Which, by the way, is kind of hard even after you're saved, isn't it? Some people are easier to forgive than others. Some people ain't near as hurtful as others. Some people don't walk as bad as others. But we're still called to forgive them. Now listen to me. Being moral and doing good does not make us holy. Holiness, and you may not agree with this, but I believe it, is 100% God and 0% me. Now, there's some people that argue that with me, but I believe that holiness is 100% God and 0% me. Revelation 15:4 says, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?" Now, catch what comes next. "For thou alone art holy." Now, if the Bible is true, which it is, and if we can trust everything it says, we're in a quagmire right there, aren't we? If only one is holy, if only one is perfect, if only one is pure, and you and I are looking to be holy, we're in a mess. Because there's no way, according to thinking, that we have anything to do with it, that we can be made holy. You agree with me so far? I hope you agree with me all the way through this. We as humans cannot sanctify ourselves. Let me give you another shot. We as humans cannot make ourselves divine. We don't have the capability. We're fallen in our natures. We can't sanctify ourselves. The greatest problem in many churches today, and why so many people going around trying, saying this, I hope I'm just trying to make it to heaven. Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to make it to heaven. Amen. I put my trust, my holiness, my righteousness, my sanctification, my justification in one pot, and it was in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make it to heaven. Amen. But a lot of people don't believe that. They go through life just trying to figure out a way to make it to heaven. Well, I'll tell you how to make it. Believe the word of God, trust in Jesus, and walk with him. You're going to get there. Amen. It's safe and done. I don't worry about it. Listen, I don't go to sleep at night and worry one bit whether I'm going to be in heaven or whether I'm going to be here in the morning. Because if I'm here, to live as Christ is gain. If I die, I've trusted him and he can't lie, and I'll meet him up in heaven. Amen. Now, many churches are teaching you can be good enough. Well, I'll tell you what, they've been around somebody I ain't never been around. I've never found a person that was so good that I thought they warranted going to heaven and being justified to get there. And I've never seen a person that's done enough good works to impress somebody like me when they have to impress God, if that's what they're basing it on. They cannot accomplish it. So they're falling short already. Folks, I want you to know, He loved you. And He loved me enough to do what we could not do. Let me ask you something. I just want a question. I'm always curious. I'm always full of questions. I can't help it. How many people's been super holy all day? I want to see a show of hands. You got up in the morning, you didn't think nothing bad. You didn't doubt God one time. You was kind and just fluffy with everybody you ran into. Nothing angered you. You knew to do good and you done it. How many people done that? I'm glad I'm not looking at a bunch of people that have a problem with lying. You're not holy in your own goodness. You're not holy in your own strength. You're not holy in what you can do. You are holy in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and nothing else. Now, God doesn't measure holiness in what we do. Aren't you glad? But we'd be in a mess, wouldn't we? I'd be going out the back doors of this church with a bunch of unholy people if I was counting on us, wouldn't I? He measures it by where we are in His Son.
Amen.
I'll try to get into that a little bit in a minute. Now, I looked up, I found out, a brother asked me one time, says, what commentaries do you use? I said, well, mainly I use words. I go into the Bible, Pastor Lawson, because I don't know a lot of words. And I look at what they were in the Hebrew. I can't pronounce it probably, but I can read what the word means. And then I go to something in the New Testament, and I try to find the same thing and see what it says in the Greek. And then I try to take the two words as I chase all these things down and make them line up together in a way that makes sense according to what God's word says. So the word, Hebrew word for sanctification is kadesh. I hope I pronounced that right. It's kadesh. And it means setting something or someone apart. Sanctify them to be used by Holy God. That's a decent. According to the New Testament, a born again Christian is holy, and it's assigned by God the Father at the moment they get born again. You receive, He imputes your holiness, His holiness to you. In other words, Brother Sean, when I accepted Jesus Christ, bowed my knee, confessed that I was a sinner, said, God, help me, save me. When I did that, God immediately appointed and looked at me as if He looked at His Son, and He saw me spiritually as holy. Some of you looked at me like you already knew that. Well, I jumped on some stuff I knew, but I just want to see more. According to the New Testament, we're born again at the moment, assigned it when we're saved,
amen,
not by good works. When I got born again, I didn't jump up and go to doing good things right off the bat. So I had no good works. But yet God looked at me as if I was holy, because the holiness that I had assigned to me was 100% from God and 0% from a foolish young man about 28 years old that bowed his head and had enough sense to turn around and accept the goodness of God. Hebrew 3:1 says, whereby for holy brethren. Now listen to it. This is Apostle Paul, I believe, speaking. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. How could they be holy brethren unless they were assigned the holiness from God, when we already established that nobody's holy, nothing's holy, apart from God Himself? And so somehow we had to have the assignment of holiness. Amen. But it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Amen. That's how I got holy. Now, there's a difference in being seen as holy and acting holy in the way we live daily. But as far as God's concerned, when he looks at Tom Berry, he sees his son, and his son is always holy. And since I'm in him and he's in me, then it seems logical to me that when God sees me, he sees something holy, whether anybody else does or not. Amen. Now, I want you to think of something right here. And I wish this was my analysis of this, but I just came across it, and I think it's all right to use it because it made sense to me. When a cherry tree is a cherry tree, it's not a cherry tree because it bore cherries, right? I mean, it was a tree, and it was a cherry tree, but that didn't what made it a cherry tree. It bore fruit because it was a cherry tree when it began. You cannot save yourself. You cannot be good enough. You cannot do anything else. So think of it. A cherry tree does not become a cherry tree by producing cherries. It becomes it produces cherries because it was originally a cherry tree. Now a Christian doesn't become holy by doing good deeds. That doesn't make you a Christian. They do good deeds because the Lord already planted a holy nature inside you and me, which is a new spirit and a new man. And because of that new nature that he planted there, because of that, that's the only reason that we do good deeds, because he planted that thing inside us to be able to do so. Amen. Otherwise, we'd be tearing this place apart right now. It'd be worse than some beer joint somewhere. We'd be mad, angry, and fight. That's not God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." We're dumber than a bunch of rocks without Jesus. Yeah. We don't have any wisdom. We got earthly wisdom. Righteousness. Why? Our righteousness according to the word of God is as filthy rags before a just and holy God, who's perfect and in reality is the only true holiness on this place. Not only that, but sanctification. That's holiness. He sets us aside. He gives us the holiness we need to be set aside. And then we have redemption. I've been a lot of things in my life. I have. I've been a father, grandfather, an evangelist, a pastor. I've been a missionary. I've been a foreman, a superintendent. I'm sometimes a handyman. There's a whole lot of things I've been. But the best thing I ever been is sanctified and redeemed by the holiness of God in his Son. Now, I've never got over that. Now, in the Old Testament, just for an example, and I won't keep you long night, it's a simple, simple message. In the Old Testament, when you went into the temple, as you came through it, there was places that weren't as holy as other places. I mean, they were limited to who could go where, and they couldn't go anywhere beyond that. But the closer you got to the Holy of Holies, the more the power of God and the holiness of God was revealed. As a matter of fact, only one person can go in behind that veil to the Holy of Holies, and only one time a year to make a offering for a sacrifice for the sins of the people. And if he wasn't right when he went in there, guess what? Yeah. They drug him out of there and had to find a new one. Yeah. So you see, the closer they got to the Holy of Holies, the more close they got to the God who is holy. And it made a big difference. And it's the same way with you and me. God didn't see our holiness or make us holy just so that we could say we were holy or get to heaven. God had a design for holiness. And that design was that we would read His Word, that it would draw us to be closer, that it would fill us with the Holy Spirit, and we would draw closer to God, and closer to God, and closer to God, until our lives begin to show what God had already given us. Are you doing that? You see, the closer we get to God, the more He reveals His holiness. And the more He reveals His holiness, and we know and feel that holiness, the more we love Him. And the more we love Him, the more like Him we become because of that love. Amen. And we walk more careful. And we do good works, but it's the work of God that's being done in sin. If you truly want the holiness of God, how many wants that? All right. If you truly want the holiness of God that you receive from the work of Christ on Calvary to show forth in your life, we need to love Him with all our hearts. Now, I don't know about you. There's some young people here, middle-aged people. And, well, there's a few of us old people here. The older I get, it seems, Brother Sean, the more I love Him. He can simply tell me, I love you, and it tears a redneck old construction worker up all to pieces. And I'll sit in my study and squall like a big baby simply because he said, son, I've got something to tell you. I love you. And that starts a process. I'm getting glory by it tonight. That starts a process where I said, well, I love you, Lord. I love you. I want to be closer to you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. And then he does this. He might say, well, you know what? I love you in spite of yourself and forever. Amen. Now, how are you going to top that, telling somebody you love them? And you know what? The closer I get to Him and that holiness, and the more I turn my heart over to Him and fall in love with Him, amen, and think on Him and realize my days are short, you say, that's not good, is it? It is if you're waiting to get to there. Yeah. Yes. Where I'll see Him, yeah, as He is. Yes. Where I'll be with Him, not just in my study, not just in my mind, not just in my heart, but I'll be in the presence of the One that loved me and all His holiness. Amen. Now that may not do nothing for you. It don't just leave me alone. I've been going through this all day. He tell me he loved me, the devil tell me he did. Yeah. He give me a thought, the devil tried to rob it. I turned on my air conditioner in my little room study. Poof, whenever every little thing I wrote down the whole day. Just on pages and pages. I write on everything, napkins. When he says something, I want to remember it. I'll write it on my palm of my hand if I have to. Amen. And not wash it till I'm sure I put it somewhere. Listen, the devil fears you when you get up close to God. You make him shake whether you realize it or not. Amen. Because when you get up that close to him, it's like what happened with Moses. Moses got a little bit too close to God, didn't he? He comes down out of there, I don't think, realizing just what had taken place. He knew something big had. Brother Beck, he was aglow. And when the people see him, they were afraid of him. I mean, they said, hey, something's gone on here. And they were actually afraid of Moses, and so they put a veil over his face. Do you realize? If you will only realize that you have the holiness of God that's been appointed to you, and you'll only get up as close as you can and love him with your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, then something's going to change. And when you walk out into a lost and dying world,
they're going to see the holiness, the glory of God. And that's what God wanted once he gave us the holiness anyway.
Now, I understand sanctification has, three parts to it, I think, at least that I've discovered. Position, we're eternally set apart for God by the finished work of who? Christ. Therefore, positionally, in God's eyes, you and I are holy. Hebrew 3:1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partaking of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Experientially, is that a word? I think it is. We are being sanctified daily by the Holy Ghost through what? You say, you aren't going to get into the Word of God again. That takes place through the Word of God. Jesus in John chapter 17:7, he prayed and said this, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is true. So you see, exponentially, we're being made holy. The more you read your Bible, the more you pray and talk to him, guess what? You're being primed. And your battery's getting charged more every single time you do that to where you're more holy. And then one day, someday, soon I hope, we'll complete in sanctification at the appearing of Christ when he comes to get his bride and he calls us out of here. And then when he comes back and we go, guess what's going to happen? When he comes to get us, these bodies that are not saved, these bodies of flesh that are not holy, these bodies of flesh that don't really know how to love or to act the way it should apart from Christ, guess what? He'll complete the process of sanctification and he'll change these bodies. And you know what? We'll be in the presence of holy, filled with holy, impermeated with holy, surrounded by holy, lit up by holy, kept eternally by holy with him. And all I can tell you is I don't have to work one bit to get there. I certainly don't have to be a certain amount of moral to get there. I certainly do not have to give a bunch of things to get there. I'm in him. However, I sure do want to get close to him. I sure do want to be filled with that holiness. I sure do want God to shine his Shekinah glory now whenever he will. And I sure do want other people to see it so that they just might want to find out what the difference is, just like with Moses. That's all I got for you. Now, it's not a big message. I didn't expect a bunch of shouting. But sanctification is not in you and me, or by you and me, or through you and me, or because of you and me. Our sanctification, our holiness, is all in Christ. And that's where we got it from. So if you're looking at me thinking, Brother Tom, are you holy? Only because of one reason. I'm in him. He's in me. And he dumped a whole lot of holy on me when I got born again. Amen. That's the only reason. Only reason. I love him. Now I'm going to pray with you, and then we'll turn it back over to the pastor. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. God, I fear that so many people can't enjoy their salvation because they think they've got to be moral enough or good enough or God, they've got to do a certain amount of deeds. And God, they can enjoy that salvation without worry because they are in you. And God, some people are worried that that's saying we give them a license to sin. You know better than that. We don't get a license to sin. We love you so much, we try to stay away from it, and we try to hang on to you as close as we can. God, our salvation's eternal, our holiness is eternal, and our everything we hope to be is in you and through you and by you and for you and to you and because of you and you alone. Now, God, I ask that you watch after these dear people. God, there's a lot of burdens,
a lot of problems. God, I ask now that you move according to your will and your power in the midst of those problems. And we'll be very careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.